Bhakti Sangha conference call. Yeah. Okay, welcome all of you once again. We are really fortunate to have today His Grace Yugavatar Prabhuji to give the Srimad Bhagavatam class and the nectar. And Prabhuji is a senior disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And he is a professor in medical college by profession. And he is preaching in colleges for the students from many years. And we are, as we all know, he is a spiritual drama actor and a director at ISKCON Chowpatty Temple. So we are really fortunate to have Prabhuji on this call today and to give his association. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm just joining in a bit. Okay, just give me 1 second. You can chant Hare Krishna till then. Just 1 second. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare
Rama,
Rama
Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare
Rama,
Rama
Rama,
Hare
Hare,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare
Hare,
Hare
Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare
Hare,
Hare
Rama,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna,
thank you so much. Am I audible?
Yes, Prabhu.
Am I clear?
It's clear now.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah?
Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you so much.
You can please take over the call.
Thank you. My apologies for the 1 minute delay. You are saying I just reached home from my work. My actually work gets over at 4 p.m. and the timing for our lecture over here is 4:50. So I had to rush back home and see to it that all arrangements are done. Thank you so much. I'm not at all eligible to speak anything in front of sincere devotees like all of you. But because all of you are engaging me in your service, I thought let me take this opportunity to serve you. Of course, we have our today's verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 29th chapter, 17th verse. Naham mameti bhavoyam purushe vyavavadhite yavat buddhimanoksha guna vyuho ki anadiman. The translation is as follows. As long as there exists subtle material body composed of intelligence, mind, senses and sense objects and reactions of material qualities, the consciousness of false identification and its relative object, the gross body, exists as well. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The desires in the subtle body of mind, intelligence and ego cannot be fulfilled without gross body composed of material elements, earth, water, air, fire and ether. When the gross material body is not manifest, the living entities cannot factually act in modes of material nature. In this verse, it is clearly explained that subtle activities of the mind and intelligence continue due to sufferings and enjoyment of the living entity's subtle body. the consciousness of material identification still continues because of such consciousness has been extant from time immemorial. However, when one transfers to the spiritual world by the virtue of understanding of Krishna consciousness, the actions and reactions of both gross and subtle bodies no longer bother the spirit soul. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम अज्ञानति मिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाके चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन गोखले स्वयं रूप पदामहिं ददाति स्वपदं नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतरिष्णुत भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नाम्नि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासति गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम राम राम। सो श्रीला प्रभुपाद राइट्स हियर इन द परपोर्ट दैट द डिजायर्स इन द सटल बॉडी ऑफ माइंड इंटेलिजेंस एंड ईगो कैनॉट बी फुलफिल्ड विदाउट अ ग्रॉस बॉडी कंपोज्ड ऑफ मटेरियल एलिमेंट्स. So basically, our mind, intelligence, and ego, all of us know that they compose our subtle body. And even if our gross body is taking rest, sleeping, tired, the subtle body is never tired. Whenever we say, I am too exhausted today, I am too tired today, I don't have any energy, our subtle body never says this dialogue to us because it is never tired, it is never exhausted. Krishna also tells in the Bhagavad Gita that this body is made up of gross elements. And more powerful than these gross elements are subtle elements, that is mind. So mind is more powerful. And powerful than the mind is the soul. But of course, unfortunately, the soul is currently sleeping in ignorance and is under the spell of illusion. And therefore, the soul cannot manifest its original Satchidanand. And because of that, we are running after the false pleasures of this material world. Few days back at Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir, there was a Srimad Bhagavatam class given by His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhu, maybe 3 Sundays back. And he was talking about this Atma, mind, and body. For sense gratification to happen, one has to be jagrat. Jagrat in the sense, the Atma has to be connected with mind. Mind has to be connected with the senses, and senses has to be in contact with the sense object. Only when this whole connection is there, only then a person can enjoy sense gratification. If there is any break in the link anywhere, no sense gratification is possible. For example, no sense object available, sense gratification not possible. Senses, there is a problem, there is a disease, no sense gratification possible. Mind is distracted. Sometimes it happens that we are watching a movie and then we are in our own thought. Mind is distracted and we lose the track. Of course, this doesn't happen when we are in watching a movie. We are in a very rapt attention, so that never happens. I'm just giving an example. We are sometimes staring at something and some hero, heroine passes by and we are in our own thoughts. And then we forget, oh, sorry. My mind was somewhere else. So if the mind is somewhere else, again the sense gratification is not possible. If mind is disturbed, if mind is heavily disturbed, we have senses, we have food to eat, we have movies to see, music to hear, but still no sense gratification is possible because mind is disturbed. And the last factor is Atma. If the Atma has left the body, the story is over and no sense gratification is possible. So that is the Jagruti stage. The next stage is Swapna. So what happens in Swapna stage? Atma is in connection with mind, but body is sleeping. Therefore, the senses are not in contact with the sense object and mind is not in contact with the senses. So now here what is happening is Atma is in contact with mind during Swapna stage, what we call as the light sleep. So then the mind creates dreams, the entire world of dreams, and mind is running and tiger is chasing. Sometimes mind is chasing the tiger, whatever. So all these things are happening and our mind is hyperactive. So even if we are laying down and sleeping, our mind is hyperactive. And therefore that sleep is called as light sleep. I have this pedometer with me, a smartwatch. And every day morning I get up and first thing I check is my sleep. So today it shows I slept for 4 hours and 35 minutes last night. Of this, 3 hours and 50 minutes was light sleep and only 45 minutes was deep sleep. Only 45 minutes. What is this deep sleep? So that is the next stage. So one was Jagruti, needed for sense gratification, where Atma was connected to mind, mind was connected to senses, senses are connected to sense objects. Second step we talked about was Swapna, where Atma is connected to mind. Now we are at the third step, which is Sushupta. In stage Sushupta, Atma gets disconnected from the mind. And that is when the deep sleep happens. Deep sleep occurs when Atma is disconnected from the mind. So actually Atma gets a relief. Atma gets a relief. It feels nice because it is disconnected from the mind. It is said that almost that happiness is like Brahmananda. So there are people who believe that sleeping is like Brahmananda, and it is there in our scriptures also. Deep sleep is like Brahmananda. But after sleeping for 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, what we achieve is deep sleep for 1 hour. Actually, our body needs deep sleep to completely relax. And what deep sleep all of us, you and me, get at the end of the night or in the morning, 1 hour. How much deep sleep is needed for a person to sustain for 24 hours, 2 hours of deep sleep? And that is what our Goswamis, they were getting. Our Goswamis, they used to sleep for 2 hours, but that was 2 hours of deep sleep. That is Atma disconnected from the mind, because they had all control over their mind. We don't have control over mind. So neither in our awakened state, I should not use the word awakened, neither when we are awake and neither when we are sleeping. So we don't have any control over our mind. Of course, it is wrong on my part to say that our Goswamis used to be in deep sleep, because they never forgot Krishna. They were always connected to Krishna. But if scientifically somebody asks or challenges us that how come Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sleeping only from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m.? How come Srila Prabhupada survived? Or they may say it is impossible to survive. Or somebody asks us that how Srila Prabhupada survived only by sleeping from 12 to 2 a.m. used to get up at 2 a.m. in the morning. Then we can tell them this scientific explanation that how 2 hours of sleep is actually sufficient for the body to sustain for 22 hours if that sleep is deep sleep where Atma is connected, it's disconnected from the mind. And above that stage of Sushupta is the state of Turiya. Turiya stage is where Atma is not only disconnected from the mind, but it is connected with Paramatma. This stage we see in the lives of Dhruva Maharaj, and of course all our acharyas were actually in that Turiya stage, always connected with the Paramatma, always connected with Bhagavan, and they were witnessing the pastimes of Radha Krishna always in their heart. So wrong to say that they had 2 hours of deep sleep, but I am just giving you an example. So we in as devotees, more and more we become Krishna conscious, we will sleep peacefully. Some of the devotees, they share this experience that after I have come to Krishna consciousness, I get good sleep in the night. I get good sleep in the night. That is because, you know, the Atma gets disconnected from the mind. Okay. So that is possible. That deep sleep is possible. And it definitely helps us to freshen up. So basically, as the activity of our mind reduces, the devotees experience great and great bliss, in their life. And that is one of the reasons that devotees enjoy. And if you see this chanting, you know, Miss Mataji was introducing me, she said I was preaching in medical colleges. And when we were preaching, we were the saints and sadhus in that medical school, and people used to approach us with various problems, and they used to come and tell us that I don't get sleep. So we used to tell them that you chant Hare Krishna. Once you chant Hare Krishna, your mind will become peaceful and you will get to sleep. And then next day, another boy used to approach us and he used to tell, I'm not able to wake up. So we used to tell him, chant Hare Krishna. Once you chant Hare Krishna, you know, your soul will start getting awakened. And once the soul is awakened, you will have no problem in getting up. Of course, these were our initial years in Krishna consciousness. But we had only one solution, chant Hare Krishna. And of course, that's the only solution we have. Moving ahead with our today's topic. Of course, these are all subtle things what we are talking about. So I'm just before we move on to the person who slept for 2 hours, that is Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. I have a small topic to cover, and that small topic is of showing the subtleties of this material world, and that is the passing away of the Pandavas. Of course, these are very painful things, but we learn a great lesson even in that. So all of us know that Arjuna, he had gone to Dwarka, he saw a lot of inauspicious omens. Yudhishthir also saw a lot of inauspicious omens. And then after that, they realized that Krishna has left. So they said, if Krishna has left this world, what is the use of ruling over this world? What is the use of existing in this world? See the kind of consciousness the Pandavas had. They were existing for Krishna, and they said, this our Lord has left us. Why should we exist? Why should we even exist in this world? So they decided that to give up this world, and they were detached. Somebody may feel that the Pandavas, they fought an 18-day war and so many lakhs and crores of soldiers were killed. They were not attached to kingdom. that war also they did because Krishna wanted the war. They become kings because Krishna wanted to become them to become kings. But Krishna had left, they had no purpose. They had no purpose to exist in this world, and therefore they decided. Actually, I visited that spot at Badri. At Badrinath, if you go to Vyas Gupa, and from Vyas Gupa you can see the path Swarga Rohini, that is called as. There is a Swarga Rohini trek also. And on that trek, they show you the spots where Draupadi left her body, spots where Nakul, Sahadeva, Arjun, Bhim, they left their body. So I saw the spot where Draupadi had left her body. And that whole trek is such an exciting trek. Of course, Pandavas didn't go for trekking purpose. They thought that they will go back to the spiritual world. And that's how Pandavas, they started walking on that path. And at the first, what happens is Draupadi fell down first and she left her body. She could not reach up to heaven. So then every time anybody died or left the body, Bhima used to ask questions to Yudhishthir. So Bhima asked question to Yudhishthir that she never performed any sinful act. And why did she fall? And then Yudhishthir told Bhima that although she never performed any sinful act, all of us were so much equal to her. But she was partial. She was not equal to five of us. She had special place for Arjun in her heart. So if one is partial, one cannot reach the heavens. Now this is a great lesson for all of us also. Why this is a great lesson for all of us is because we should not practice partiality. In our spiritual life also, we have tendency to be partial. I like these devotees. I like this devotee. I don't like this devotee. If I get a chance to associate, I would like to associate with this devotee. I would like to keep distance from that devotee. So we are partial. So if we want to go back to the spiritual world, we have to develop equality. Not only towards devotees, even equality towards non-devotees. To have equal love for everyone, considering everyone to be part and parcel of Krishna. That is very important. Sometimes we have hatred. We have hatred in our mind towards some particular communities also. We have hatred that I don't like people of this community. I don't like people who speak this language. But whoever is there in this material world, they are actually all the eternal associates of the Supreme Lord. So we cannot, you know, hate them. We cannot say that, no, I don't like them. They are currently under severe bodily concept. And because of that severe bodily concept, they are thinking, I belong to this religion, I belong to this country. And so that, they may be thinking like that because they don't know the Supreme Philosophy. But we know the Supreme Philosophy. I am not even quoting from Bhagavatam. I am talking of quoting from Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna has given this instruction to all of us. Shuni chaiva shvapa kecha panditaha samadarshin. So the lesson we learn here from passing away of Draupadi is we have to be equal. Of course, Draupadi, Nakul, Sahadev, Bhim, Arjun, they are at such a platform that we are nothing in front of them. But they always like to be the instruments of the Lord. And they didn't mind falling down on the way to heaven they were actually the Lord's eternal associates. They are eligible to go back to the spiritual world, but they allowed the Lord to use them as instruments to teach people in general various lessons. So Draupadi doesn't mind falling on the way back to the heaven and not reach even the heaven, just so that while passing away also she helps Lord Krishna to create a leela where Yudhishthir tells a lesson to people like us. So more important is lesson and status of spiritual status of Draupadi, we are no one to question. So please understand, whenever I am talking about passing of Pandavas, this is a very important thing. We should be there, or a most important disclaimer, I would say. The next person to pass away was Sahadev, and Bhim said that he was with such great humility he served all of us. Then Yudhishthir said he thought that no one is equal to him in wisdom. Sahadev was very wise, very wise. He said nobody was equal to him in wisdom, and that's why Sahadev could not reach heaven. So we in Krishna consciousness, especially when we start giving lectures, we start preaching, and our preaching starts showing success, we have a feeling that I am very wise. We learn Bhagavatam, we hear and stories, and there is a very natural feeling that, yes, I am someone great, wise. But then we should remember what Yudhishthir said. Sahadev could not reach the heavens because he felt that no one is equal to him in wisdom. Nakul was the next one to fall. And Bhima again asked him the reason. Yudhishthira said, yes, he was righteous, he was intelligent, but Nakula was very beautiful, and he thought that nobody is equal to him in beauty. So he was proud of his beauty. Of course, this is not a big problem for me because there's no question of any beauty on my face. But yeah, those people who are beautiful, Please note this point, that Nakul could not reach heaven because he thought that no one is equal to him in beauty, proud of his beauty. So we all also, however bad we look, we are proud of our hair and our face and all that. You know, we like the way we look. Arjun was next to fall. Now Bhima was kind of losing faith. He said, Arjun never even spoke a lie. So then Yudhishthir said, he never accomplished what, or many times he didn't accomplish what he promised. He disregarded warriors, other warriors, and he acted sentimentally and took vows. Took sentimental vow. So let's go one by one. He sometimes didn't accomplish what he promised. So once all of us know that Arjun was supposed to find Jayadrath, but he could not find. Someday he was supposed to kill Bhishma and Drona, he could not. And then there was a fight, verbal fight between Yudhishthir and Arjun. And Yudhishthir said that your Gandiv bow is useless. And you know then, Arjun got angry. Arjun said, I have taken a vow. If somebody criticizes my Gandiv bow, I'm going to kill that person. And then what happens is Krishna has to intervene. Krishna says, what has happened? He said, I have to kill Yudhishthir. So he said, why you have to kill Yudhishthir? Because he has insulted my Gandiv bow. He said, instead of killing, you insult him, because insult is bad than killing. So he criticizes Yudhishthir that because of your gambling match, we are in this problem, this and that. Okay, so problem is not over there. Arjuna had also taken a vow that if I am not able to kill that person, I will kill myself. So he starts killing himself. So Krishna says, what is the problem? said, I have taken a vow that if somebody criticizes Gandhi, I'll kill him. And if I'm not going to kill him, not able to kill him, I'll kill myself. Krishna says, oh, no need to kill yourself. I'll give you another shortcut. Just glorify yourself. Just glorify yourself. Glorifying the self or speaking about our own glories is like killing ourselves. And that's how Arjun then glorified himself. Then he took forgiveness from Yudhishthira. But lesson to learn, glorifying ourselves is like killing ourselves. Now, never accomplished what he promised. Not every time, but sometimes. The lesson for us sadhakas in this situation is that we have given promise to our guru, Srila Prabhupada, that we will chant 16 rounds. So, if we want to go back to the spiritual world and not fall in between, we have to keep our promise. Then, second point about Arjuna was he disregarded other warriors. So we should not disregard other devotees. That's the lesson for us. Everybody is doing their job best of their capacities. And third is he took sentimental vows. So we should not take sentimental vows. Our four regulative principles, these vows are. I had met with a devotee and he was crying and he said, well, I said, what happened? He said, yesterday I chanted only 14 rounds and my 2 rounds are remaining. So now I'm going to take a vow. I'm going to stand in front of Gopinath and I'm going to take a vow that whole life I'm going to chant 20 rounds. I said, wait, just wait. That's a very wrong thing that you have missed 2 rounds yesterday. You chant that today, of course, that is not permitted, but okay, this has happened once in your first time in your life. That's okay. Don't repeat it again. But don't take a vow. Already you have broken one vow. Now don't take another vow. Because I'm telling you, you are not married now. You will get married. You will have responsibility. Your job, will be doing your job. On your job, there may be work pressure and you may not get time to finish 20 rounds. So don't take sentimental vows. Okay? Or if devotee has to stick to some vows, the initial vows are sufficient for us. You know, we should work on that. I'll chant my 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles. And whatever we want to do, the workup, we have to do workup on our 16 rounds. And there is unlimited work to be done on our 16 rounds. Unlimited. As regards concentration, as regards sitting in one place, closing our eyes, chanting, not doing any other work while chanting, not touching the mobile while chanting, not using the computer, laptop while charging, not chanting while driving, not chanting while going to buy vegetables, not chanting, I may say, during the morning walk, please forgive me. That is sometimes permitted. But trying to make chanting as an exclusive activity is always preferable. As far as possible. Making it an exclusive activity, sitting in one place and chanting. And after that, extra rounds, we can roam around without feedback. That's a different thing. But still, even once I had participated in a brahmachari class, at Shishiradha Punja Bihari temple. And then there was a discussion about extra rounds. And in that discussion, somebody asked that I chant my 16 rounds sitting in one place and then I chant extra rounds and I roam around. He said, no. Whenever you are chanting, we should give full attention. It should not happen that when we are chanting extra rounds, we are inattentive. Then, if we are inattentive even while chanting extra round, that we develop a tendency to dishonor the holy name. Okay, so we should not be inattentive. We should never be inattentive while chanting. Whenever we are chanting regular rounds, extra rounds, kirtan, we are in a bhajan, we are dancing in kirtan. Whenever we are chanting, the chanting should be attentive. After this, Bhima himself fell down. And when Bhima fell down, he asked Yudhishthira, what sin did I commit? And then Yudhishthira said, you never considered others while eating. You never thought of others while eating. You know, sometimes we, after the program, we go for prasadam and we know there is a big queue behind, but we know sweet is limited, and then we sometimes say, please, let one more. I like this item very much. We don't think of all those who are standing in queue who may not get the sweet also. You know, so we have to be always considerate towards others whenever we are eating. So Yudhishthira told him that, so these so many subtle things, so many subtle lessons we got by the passing away of the Pandavas. Somebody proud of the beauty, somebody is not equal, somebody proud of wisdom, somebody is sentimental, somebody is not thinking of others while eating. Of course, I had made this Yaksha Prashna also, but there was a special request that it is the disappearance day of Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, and we speak about him. Whenever I get a name of any Acharya and I have to speak about him, or I get very excited because I get a chance to glorify that Acharya, and almost we can dedicate 50% of our lecture for that purpose. But this time when I got this topic from Shyama Gauri Mataji, I started searching in the books. I had these books of Six Goswamis of Vrindavan. I saw the books. I heard some lectures. I went on the net. And the first thing I came across is very less information is available about Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, because he did not write any books. And he told so many pastimes of Lord Chaitanya to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, but took a promise from him that his name will not be written, that he told the pastimes. That came as a big slap to me. I write various blogs, spiritual blogs, and below every blog I write hashtag Yugavtar Das, hashtag Ata Bola. So it came as a big punch on my nose and face and on my mind intelligence and on my brain, that here is an Acharya who contributed to the Chaitanya Charitamrita almost 30-40% information and doesn't want his name to come in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which a grantha, a literature which is the topmost literature in this age of Kali. But this Acharya says, I don't want name. He did not write any book. So all my excitation went down when I read that very less information is available. And this information which was available, about why less information is available, that he did not write any books, and he specifically mentioned to all the Acharyas that his name should not be mentioned anywhere. I thought that's the only information I can pass on to Bhakti Sangha devotees. A big lesson for all of us, that not doing devotional service for name, fame or recognition. That is what Raghunath Bhatt Goswami has taught us. All of us know that Srila Prabhupada, he was so much inspired by all the previous acharyas, especially Rupa Goswami, I came across a pastime where Srila Prabhupada had decided actually to go to London. Because previously, for Indians, Western country means London. Going to the West means going to London. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had told Srila Prabhupada that you go to the West. But he had not specified where to the West. He did not tell you go to America. So Srila Prabhupada was thinking that even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's previous disciples, they had gone to London. So Srila Prabhupada was thinking of going to London. Actually, one of the Srila Prabhupada's secretaries, personal servant, in his book, he writes that I asked Srila Prabhupada that, did you have darshan of Rupa Goswami? And Srila Prabhupada said, yeah, many times. And everybody knows about it. So he tried to ask the details, but Srila Prabhupada didn't reveal. And after some days, this personal servant of Srila Prabhupada, he came to Vrindavan and went to Radha Damodar temple, and there he met Gaurchand Goswami, who was a small boy when Srila Prabhupada was staying in Radha Damodar temple. And this boy used to steal money from the hundi of the Radha Damodar temple. Srila Prabhupada caught him once. And then Srila Prabhupada asked him that, why are you stealing this money? And he said, I take this money and I go to Lohi Bazaar and I eat sweets. Srila Prabhupada told him, you love sweets, then what you do is, you come to me daily, I'll give you sweets. But don't steal money from the hundi, because people have donated this money for the service of Sri Radha Krishna. Something for all of us to learn, when people donate money, we have to realize, we have to make sure that all that money is utilized in service of Sri Radha Krishna. And we don't use a single pai for ourselves. So this Gaurchand Goswami, he said, I became friends with Srila Prabhupada. And one night, he said, I got up because my father and mother were talking and I saw them. They were looking towards Srila Prabhupada's room from the window. And inside the Srila Prabhupada's room, they were seeing lot of effulgence. And they were thinking, what this effulgence is? And then he said, I also got up, I also went near the window, I saw that effulgence, but I could not see things clearly. So next day I went running to Srila Prabhupada. He said, yesterday night we saw some effulgence in your room. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, Rupa Goswami had come. Srila Rupa Goswami had come to meet me. This was Srila Prabhupada, where our Rupa Goswami used to come and meet him. And after meeting, we could not find the exact reference, but it was meeting of Rupa Goswami which inspired Srila Prabhupada to go to New York. So all of you Bhakti Sangha devotees staying in US, you should understand that it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who initially directed Srila Prabhupada to West, and it was Rupa Goswami who specifically instructed Srila Prabhupada to go to New York. So don't think that New York is a hellish place. Rupa Manjari from the spiritual world has taken this word from her divine mouth in the form of Rupa Goswami instructing Srila Prabhupada that you go to New York, you go to USA. Okay, so we should understand that actually this material world, we may feel things, place, sometimes we may say materially, some places absolutely zero spiritual. You may think about Hollywood and Los Angeles and all those places. But we need to understand that actually, as per acharyas, all that exists in this material world is actually spiritual. Whether it is New York, whether it is Mumbai, whether it is any place in Australia, whether it is Antarctica, whatever. this whole thing is spiritual. It's only the consciousness that makes us feel whether it is material or spiritual. If we have material vision, we may go and stay in Vrindavan, but we may not see anything spiritual. And if we have spiritual vision, we may be in midst of heavy materialism or materialistic people, materialistic place, and still things will appear spiritual to us. So Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, in between I may say Raghunath Das Goswami, please forgive me for that. His father was Tapan Mishra, and Tapan Mishra was staying in Bengal. And Tapan Mishra was searching through the scriptures, trying to search God. He wanted to understand the essence of the scriptures. And he used to cry out. He used to cry out to the Lord, "Lord, please show me the path. Please show me the path." And when we have this kind of sincerity, that time Lord Chaitanya was existing in Navadvip as Nimai Pandit. Not even the devotee Nimai Pandit, the proper Nimai Pandit who was not showing any devotional qualities. But then he came in the dream and he said, "You come and see me tomorrow." So Tapan Mishra went to Nimai Pandit and he told him about the dream. And that time Nimai Pandit said, "I have appeared in this world." Of course, in the dream itself, the Lord said, I have appeared in this world. You come and see me." So when Tapan Mishra went and he saw Nimai Pandit, and when the Lord had revealed himself, Tapan Mishra's heart became full of ecstasy. And that time, Nimai Pandit told Tapan Mishra that, "You chant this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I have come in this world to spread the Sankirtan." Now, Lord Chaitanya officially started Sankirtan at Srivas Thakur's home. First Sankirtan on the roads when he went to the Chandkazi. But there were some exclusive cases that some special souls he showed mercy even before he started the Sankirtan or initiated the Sankirtan movement. Like the puppy in the house of Lord Chaitanya, which he had got home from the road, and then Sachi Mata said, "This puppy, I don't want it in the house, it is unclean." And that puppy had chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So few examples were there. Tapan Mishra was one of them. Before initiating the Sankirtan yagya in this world, before that, Tapan Mishra had received the Mahamantra. Sometimes we are also anxious that you should get the Mahaprasad before the counters are open, right? So here is the example. Tapan Mishra got the Mahaprasad of the holy name before Lord Chaitanya opened the counters of the Nam Sankirtan movement for the entire world. So Tapan Mishra, and then after that, he immediately said to Tapan Mishra that you go to Varanasi, and in Varanasi, you stay there and wait for me. So few lessons we learn from Tapan Mishra's case. Of course, because Tapan Mishra was such a great devotee, on good trees come the good fruits. So in 1503, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was born in the house of Tapan Mishra. So he became father of a Goswami. And he was very heavily dissatisfied in his life. He was searching for truth. So the Lord showed him the path. So if we are dissatisfied with this material world and we are searching for a path, Lord Chaitanya will definitely show us the path. So then Tapan Mishra surrenders. And the third lesson I take from Tapan Mishra is, what if Lord Chaitanya comes, gives you darshan, and he says, I am staying here, but you go somewhere else? Now, this is such a painful instruction. Lord Chaitanya said, I am staying here in Navadvip, but you go to Varanasi. And Varanasi, there was not a single devotee. Not a single devotee. So how do you feel, you know, that Lord has appeared, I saw his darshan, and now he's telling me to go somewhere else. But Tapan Mishra, that is what surrender is all about. So Tapan Mishra said, okay, I'll go. That is how we are supposed to surrender. That is how Srila Prabhupada's surrender was. Nobody was there. Nobody was there in USA. No devotees. But Rupa Goswami comes and tells him, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells him. And he goes there. You can see the similarity between Tapan Mishra and Srila Prabhupada. Being told to go somewhere else and preach. And Srila Prabhupada agrees. So Lord Chaitanya told him that you go there, you serve Krishna with body, mind, words and soul, and I will meet you there. Okay. It was a very strange order, but he agreed to that. But there was a reward. There was a reward. When Lord Chaitanya was on the way to Vrindavan, after he took sannyas, he came, he stayed at Chandrasekhar Vaidya's house. And for every day, he used to go for prasad at Tapan Mishra's home. Now imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming to our house. Of course, he's there in our house accepting prasad, but we are not able to see him because he doesn't move or we don't have love for him. But here is the Lord actually coming in the house. So that's an absolute Krishna conscious cooking. The Lord is coming for lunch today. Let me go and get sabjis. Let me cut the sabjis. Let me prepare the vegetable. So full Krishna conscious atmosphere at Tapan Mishra's home. We should also try to do that. Never think that only when Lord Chaitanya says, you go and stay in Varanasi and for lunch I am coming to your place. No, he is there already in our place, accepting breakfast, lunch, evening snacks and our dinner also. So we should try to follow Tapan Mishra, the enthusiasm with which he used to cook for the Lord. And that was the time when Raghunath Bhatt, when Lord Chaitanya came to Varanasi, Raghunath Bhatt must be around 9 years old. Okay. So he got association of Lord Chaitanya. So he used to wash the feet of Lord Chaitanya and he used to drink water from the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And all of us know that whenever small children, they drink Charanamrit, how much they drink. Adults, you know, they get drink that much. But children, they will keep on drinking. So Raghunath Bhatt kept on drinking and drinking and drinking Charanamrit of Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya was on the way back, that time he stayed Varanasi for 2 months. Okay. On the way from Vrindavan, again he stayed at Chandrasekhar Vaidya's house and he was taking prasad at Tapan Mishra. And that was the time when Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami was also there, where Lord Chaitanya instructed Srila Rupa Goswami. So Raghunath Bhatt also got the association of Srila Rupa Goswami. And then when Raghunath Bhatt Goswami became 12 years old, he decided to go to Jagannath Puri. Somewhere, you know, Srila Prabhupada was also enthusiastic to go to Jagannath Puri. And here is one more Acharya, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. He had developed love for Lord Chaitanya. He was washing the plates of Lord Chaitanya. He was serving Lord Chaitanya. You know, here is one example for all of us, how to engage our kids in serving. That Tapan Mishra has taken us a parenting seminar, devotional parenting seminar for us. So he never served Lord Chaitanya directly. Of course, he also served, but he engaged Raghunath Bhat. So Raghunath Bhat was washing Lord's feet, he was getting Lord's plate, he was, you know, serving the Lord, he was washing Lord's plate and having Mahaprasad from it. You know, children like to do these things. Whenever we hold council meetings in our home, my son likes to serve. So we should try to engage them in whatever way they like. And Raghunath Bhat, you know, he had enjoyed all this. He had already developed love for Lord Chaitanya. He walked all the way from Varanasi to Puri. And of course, Ramdas Vishwas was also there with him. He was carrying his baggage. He was chanting Lord Ram's name. And when they reached Gambhira, where Lord Chaitanya reached. Now, Gambhira, the word Gambhira comes from the word Gambhir. Gambhir means that one should be serious, one should be intense in the devotional life. And Lord Chaitanya made Raghunath Bhat stay with him, actually, for a few days and before the arrangements were made. And for 8 months, Raghunath Bhat was allowed to stay in Puri. And that time he used to cook. He used to cook for the Lord. He used to sing melodious kirtan. Raghunath Bhat Goswami is known for singing Bhagavatam verses in various melodies. He is known for singing kirtan in various melodies. And he is known for his cooking. He was cooking for Lord Chaitanya, who is the incarnation of Srimati Radharani. Now, Srimati Radharani cooks various dishes for the Lord and not a single dish is repeated. Imagine the pressure to cook for Lord Chaitanya, who is Radha and Krishna combined. So there is a Radharani who is the most expert cook, and for her, when you are told to cook, it's so difficult. So difficult. But still, Krishna used to accept all that was cooked by Raghunath Bhat. So Raghunath Bhat was like Yamuna Mataji was a personal cook for Srila Prabhupada. Raghunath Bhat was a personal cook for Lord Chaitanya. And whatever he cooked, Lord Chaitanya ate. He said that there is nectar. So nectar is not only in the quality of cooking. The nectar is there in the mood in which he was a Raga Manjari in the spiritual world. And Raghavanjari cooking for Radharani and Krishna together. That pastime was going on in Jagannath Puri. So therefore, the Lord Chaitanya named him as Kirtan Acharya. All of us know that Srila Haridas Thakur is Namacharya. But this word Kirtan Acharya was given to Raghunath Bhat Goswami. After that, Raghunath Bhat Goswami was doing personal seva of Lord Chaitanya from morning to evening. In the evening also, he used to massage Lord Chaitanya's feet because Lord Chaitanya used to dance a lot. So he used to massage Lord Chaitanya's feet. So making prasadam for the Lord, massaging his feet, washing his feet, drinking charanamrita, that's what Raghunath Bhat Goswami did for 8 months, after which Lord Chaitanya told him that you should go back to Varanasi and serve your devotee parents. Very important. When parents, we have to serve, whether devotees or non-devotees. But when they are devotees, it's our duty that we serve them as Vaishnavas. So that becomes Vaishnava Seva. In Maharashtra, we have this example of Pundalik, who served his parents. And people always say that, see, just by serving the parents, he... So Vitthal came to see him and he said to Vitthal, you stand there, let me serve my parents. Of course, there is a spiritual touch to that story. His parents were Vaishnavas and Pundalik said, oh Lord, I am serving your devotees. Let me serve them. My parents are your devotees. And you only have told us that service to my devotee is greater. And Lord Vitthal, Lord Krishna came to Pundalik's house because he was serving devotees. He agreed to wait on the brick, waiting for Pundalik because he was serving devotees. The Lord says, if you are serving my devotees, keep on serving. That's okay. I'll wait for you over here. Okay. So service to devotees is very important. So Lord Chaitanya said, your parents, Tapan Mishra, they are devotees. So please, you go and serve them. So he went back to Varanasi. So the Lord instructions which Lord gave to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami were, you go back to Varanasi to serve your Vaishnava parents. You study Srimad Bhagavatam under guidance of some pure devotee. Again, there is no reference that under whose guidance he studied. So that guru himself was anonymous. So that's what Raghunath Bhatta Goswami has learned from whoever guru was teaching him Srimad Bhagavatam, that one should be very low profile. Then Lord Chaitanya gave one more instruction, do not marry. So Lord Chaitanya had that authority over his surrendered souls. So he said, do not marry. And he gave his neck beads. So devotees say that Lord Chaitanya's neck beads, from where the holy name was being uttered, was given to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And when Lord Chaitanya embraced Raghunath Bhatta Goswami before going, he started crying. Because he was carrying those neck beads over here, he also used to chant following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. And then he served his devotee parents for 4 years. And at the age of 16, again he came back to Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. Again he stayed for 8 months. And after 8 months, Lord Chaitanya said, now I want you to go to Vrindavan. Actually, I wanted to go to Vrindavan and discover all the holy places. But my mother said, you stay in Puri. So I'm not able to go to Vrindavan. Okay? So I want you to do something. You go to Vrindavan and discover these holy places. I was thinking in my mind, Lord Chaitanya did all this, sending the six Goswamis to Vrindavan and discovering the holy places so that all of us can have Kartik Yatra over there. Lord Chaitanya sees all the future. He can see everything what is going to happen. He sees that all over the world there will be so many congregations, so many ISKCON temples. They will be coming to Vrindavan. So all the holy places need to be discovered. So we have to really thank whatever Vrindavan is there today. For 600 years back, no holy place was seen. No holy place was seen. But Lord Chaitanya and all the six Goswamis, they literally discovered all the holy places so that we can go there. Half of us who have gone there, every one of us who has gone there, yes, our faith in Krishna becomes firm. We realize that, yes, there is Krishna. There is Krishna. Okay? And we see the footprints of Krishna. We see the Leela Sthalis of Krishna and Radharani. We see the birthplace of Krishna, birthplace of Srimati Radharani. And we say, yes, they exist. We don't need a seminar after that. Does God exist? So then Raghunath, he gave Tulsi Mala and unspiced betel nut to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And when he went actually to Vrindavan, when he reached Vrindavan, on the way to Vrindavan, he followed the same path which Lord Chaitanya took to go to Vrindavan. And on that same route, he went to the villages asking them that Lord Chaitanya, did he come here? Where did he stay? What did he do? And he kept notes of all of this. And those notes were further handed over to all those who wrote the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in the books with a condition. Conditions apply that my name, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami's name, should not be there anywhere. Okay, so he reached Vrindavan, and when he reached Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were waiting with a garland to welcome him. He already had association of Rupa Goswami in Varanasi, and then he stayed there, he preached, and it was one of the disciples of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, wealthy disciples. He Raghunath Bhat Goswami was serving the deities of Shishi Radha Govindji of Rupa Goswami. One of his disciples gave money and Lakshmi for building the 7-story temple. So the 7-story temple was built by the disciple of Raghunath Bhat Goswami. Okay. And in Vrindavan, again, he used to recite Srimad Bhagavatam verses in various melodies. He used to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in various melodies. It is said that even Vyasdev used to enjoy. Vyasdev, who wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, he used to enjoy the various melodies in which Raghunath Bhat Goswami used to sing the verses. You must have seen me struggling to read the verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Whenever I have class, my greatest tension is how to read that verse, in what meter to run read that verse. And here he was singing every shloka with 4 tunes, as sweet as a kapu. And he used to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and from his heart, tears used to come, and that they used to fall on the Bhagavatam. And the next verse, sometimes whatever he was reciting, the next verse used to disappear. Then he used to cry out more, "Oh, what is the next verse? Can somebody tell me?" So this was the ecstasy of Raghunath Bhat Goswami. We cannot even compare the level in which he was. When he used to cry in separation of Shishi Radha Krishna, "Hey Radhe Vraj Devi Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Putho, where are you? Where are you?" So that time he used to say that all those tears were so torrential, like the rains sent by Indra. And then he used to say that they were falling on his chest, where his heart is like Govardhan. And he used to feel that, "Oh Lord, please come and lift my heart, which is like Govardhan, so that when you come and touch my heart, the tears, the rains will stop." This was the mood of Raghunath Bhat Goswami. When he didn't write any book, when he passed away, there was a fear of Mughals attacking, so Jiva Goswami Pad actually burnt his body, his mortal remains, because he was feeling that the Mughals may disfigure it or anything. And then half of his asthi were placed near Radhakund, and half of his asthis were placed in the 64 Samadhi Kshetra. So basically, Jiva Goswami Pad has taught us to do the needful. It's a rule that we never burn the body of the Acharyas. But Jiva Goswami did that in case of Raghunath Bhat Goswami, because he felt that nobody should disfigure his body. So this is Raghunath Bhat Goswami, who was Raga Manjari in his Nitya Seva, one of the Radharani's Ashta Manjaris. Very high level topic, and sitting here in Mumbai, Yugavtar Das has no right to speak anything, not eligible to speak anything about Raghunath Bhat Goswami, but because somebody has to glorify the Acharyas on their disappearance and appearance day. Sometimes I feel devotees select me to speak on this topic because they feel that at least by giving such topic to Yugavtar Das, he will read, he will hear. I read from Stephen Rhodes' book of Six Goswamis of Vrindavan. I heard one class by His Grace Amirendra Prabhu, and I read a lot of literature written by Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and together I made this composition on Raghunath Bhat Goswami. I need to acknowledge all of them. It's not mine. I don't have to put hashtag Yugavtar Das for whatever I spoke. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Uh, Very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. And thank you so much. You just now came from job and you started giving class. So sorry about that. I didn't know that.
No. That's okay. That's every time. It's my pleasure.
So, Prabhuji, my question is how the Pandavas, they were walking to the heaven. Means, is it possible and how they walk to the Vaikuntha? So it's
no, like, they didn't walk to Vaikuntha. They walked to the heaven. There is a path from Badrikashram upwards. I told you about people go for that trekking, but nobody goes to heaven. They die and go to hell, many people. But there is that path. There existed that path. Rather, Uttarakhand is called as the heavenly place in this country of India. You go to those places and you actually feel that you are close, just one step away from heaven. They are so divine and beautiful.
Wow.
And there was a way by which people used to walk up to heaven. And Yudhishthir actually went up to heaven from that point. Ravana tried to build a staircase to heaven, but he did not know that such staircase already existed in India from Badrikashram upwards. So this was already there. But what was needed was detachment, which Yudhishthir had. Okay, so Ravana could have never even climbed one step on that path, because people like Draupadi and Arjun and Bhim, they fell. So Yudhishthir was the one who actually walked up to the last step, and he was welcomed in heaven. So this is what is written in Mahabharata. What I spoke was entirely from Mahabharata. So such is there. Of course, heaven is not our goal, because this actually Srimad Bhagavatam was written for devotees. Mahabharata is not actually written for devotees as such. There is a lot of pastimes for devotees in Mahabharata. Mahabharata is actually, it's a story form for people who believe in karma, this, and to slowly bring them to the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what the purpose of all Mahabharata was. Interesting, exciting, war and action that is happening and violence. So we want people to bring them to the Lord's pastime and slowly bring them towards the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Amala Puran. So therefore, in Bhagavatam, they are not written about Vaikuntha, going to Vaikuntha in the Mahabharata. In Mahabharata, they speak about going to heaven.
Thank you, Prabhuji. So I request other devotees, they can ask questions. I will ask it.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavad Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhuji, I remember reading, please correct me if I'm saying it wrong, I heard that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he never criticized anybody.
Yes.
So yeah, that one of the things that stuck to me, because I like to criticize and he never criticized. And I pray to him today that I also get that characteristic.
Yeah, because he said somebody chanting Hare Krishna, that's all I should know. I don't want to talk about ill of anybody. And because he did not criticize anybody, people say that that's one of the reasons that he was relishing Bhagavatam so much. So he never, that is one part you said. Another part is he never heard or spoke of any worldly topic. And he never criticized anybody. So what I came across, I had written it here in my notes, but last minute my computer, there was an issue, so I had to transfer it into another PC. which was kept down and I was not able to read it so fast. So I'll just read out. Raghunath Das Bhatta Goswami was so absorbed in Krishna Katha that he never heard or spoke of worldly topics. He never criticized anybody, what to speak of criticizing devotees. We criticize devotees. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami didn't criticize even karmis. He didn't even criticize karmis. He believed that all the Vaishnavas are sincerely serving the Lord according to their realization. And therefore, one should overlook the faults. One should overlook their faults. That's the message Raghunath Bhatta Goswami has given all of us. That he believed that all the Vaishnavas are sincerely serving the Lord according to their realization. Therefore, one should overlook their faults.
Please pray for me.
Mataji, thank you so much for reminding me of this. Many things which I had written, I missed out because I had to just take a mini laptop through which I was trying to read.
Please pray for me, Prabhuji, so that I can come out of this criticizing habit and can cultivate this characteristic of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami.
Thank you. There was a question coming up from the chat box which said that, is it true that Pandavas didn't go to the spiritual world? Actually, one thing was there, that Maharaj Pandu, he could not go even to heaven. That's what Narad Muni told the Pandavas, and that's why they did the Rajasthana sacrifice. And so all these karmi things are there, kind of Mahabharata. So don't get bewildered by all of this. Actually, you know, you read the description in the Mahabharata last chapters. You know, when they go to heaven, they see many of the Kauravas there also. And there is no enmity. You know, so all these pastimes are arranged by the Lord. Okay. And it is more, Mahabharata is more about how we are rewarded for our karma and all those things. But yes, Pandav, Arjun, he is the part of the Naranarayan team. You know, he is the eternal associate of the Supreme Lord. Even when Lord Chaitanya came, Arjun was there. Of course, Arjun and one more Sakhi, together they form Ramananda Raya. So they are all the eternal associates of the Lord. They went to the spiritual world. They went to the spiritual world. Somebody is asking me why they didn't go. They did go to the spiritual world. But Mahabharata, I again and again told you, Mahabharata is not a Amala Puran. Mahabharata is more of a story forms of the history of Greater India. With the history of the Greater India written in such a way that people become pious and slowly, slowly they understand Lord Krishna's pastimes and then they turn towards spirituality. So to tell about Goloka directly would be very heavy. Okay, so in our scripture, sometimes we hear words like they went to Swarga and on. But of course, all of them from there, they were the eternal associates of Lord Krishna. We talk about our ISKCON devotees going to the spiritual world. Okay, and we are all inspired by the Pandavas. So how come Pandavas did not go to the Golok Dham? They are all in the Golok Dham always. They come down with Lord Krishna and perform the pastime. They are always dear to Krishna. Otherwise, they were put into Lakshagra, the Vastraharan, and the dice game, and Agyatvas and Vanvas. Krishna, doesn't do this to normal devotees. He does it to dear devotees like Pandavas, who are his eternal associates. Okay, so they all are in the spiritual world.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much. Very nice class, Prabhuji. And you explained about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami very beautifully. Thank you so much for that. Prabhuji, I have some, I need some clarifications. Like, I have some doubts. You explained about the stages of sleep. Stages of sleep, right? Dream and then... So the third stage is where our mind is gets connected to Atma.
Disconnected from Atma.
But sound sleep, but what sound is the sound sleep? Is where it gets connected to soul, right?
No.
Okay.
Swapna is a stage where Atma is in connection with mind, but mind is not connected to the senses because senses are sleeping.
Okay.
So in swapna stage, mind, Atma is, because Atma is connected to the mind, we get swapna. The mind is roaming around.
Okay.
And deep sleep is when Atma gets disconnected from the mind. Now, Atma is on its own and can sleep. Therefore, it is sometimes compared almost to Brahmananda.
So that is where the soul is connected to Paramatma.
That is the next step called Turiya. Fourth stage is called Turiya, where Atma gets connected to Paramatma. And third stage is called Sushupta.
So when soul is connected to mind, that's when we keep getting dreams.
Yeah, soul is always connected to mind in our case.
In the sleep,
there are two stages where soul is connected with mind. That is the stage of dream. And soul gets disconnected from the mind. That is the stage of deep sleep. That is only for a few minutes, actually.
Okay.
Almost 1 hour. After 8 hours, we may get 1 hour of deep sleep. And that is one reason we have variable sleep patterns. Some days we get up in the morning, we are fresh. Some days we sleep for 8 hours and we are fresh. Some days we sleep for 8 hours and we are not at all fresh. Because the mind has created so much disturbance in the sleep.
Okay,
so it's mind which doesn't allow us to sleep also. So as we progress in our Krishna consciousness, our mind becomes Krishna conscious. Then the mind doesn't create disturbance during sleep. So we are able to get good deep sleep that time. Okay, that is not the goal of Krishna consciousness. This is a byproduct of Krishna consciousness.
Okay. Thank you so much for clarifying that. Hare Krishna.
Thanks.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Can I ask one more question?
Yes, Shyama Gauri.
Prabhuji, you are a doctor and you are a professor at college, and you live in Mumbai. Mumbai life is very busy. So, in this busy schedule, how do you get the time for Krishna consciousness?
And especially during this lockdowns, life has become more busy because we don't have servants. And to tell you frankly, from my office, I went to get vegetables for tomorrow and stuff for cooking for tomorrow. So that's how I somehow managed to reach home at 4:30 or something. 4:50 was the lecture. So, and I had to have my dinner before I start speaking. I try to utilize as much time as possible. I try. I fail also many times in my trial. But I make it a point that when I am not chanting, so when I'm not able to chant, those are the times when I'm driving my bike, I'm not able to chant. When I'm in the bathroom, taking bath, using the restroom, I'm not able to chant. So all those times, I'm listening. I do Shravan of almost more than 1 hour as a rule. Try to hear for more than 1 hour. Reading, what I have done is I have some 600, 700 devotees who are connected to me on WhatsApp. So we have our groups Nityam Bhagwat Seva. So every day I send Bhagavatam verses to them. So before sending them, I read all those verses. So we read first canto, part of first canto on 1st, 11th, 21st and 31st of every month. Part of second canto on 2nd, 22nd, 12th of every month. Part of 9th canto on 9th, 19th and 29th of every month. Apart from reading it in sequence, we are reading it in sequence also. But still, again, to keep in touch with the entire Bhagavatam, we have a group where we read Bhagavad Gita from one Mokshada Ekadashi to next Mokshada Ekadashi. So every day reading two verses, exactly in 365 days, we finish the reading of Gita every year. So I have some 600 devotees reading two shlokas with me every day. Because of that, I also read two shlokas every day of Bhagavad Gita. And we have another 600 devotees who are reading Krishna book from Janmashtami to Janmashtami. Start reading Krishna book from this Janmashtami till next Janmashtami. So this is something, regulated book reading. You know, start Krishna book on this Janmashtami, finish by next Janmashtami. And on next Janmashtami, again start reading Krishna book. Start reading Bhagavad Gita on Mokshada Ekadashi, finish it on next Mokshada Ekadashi, again start reading Bhagavad Gita and continue reading Bhagavatam. Okay. And of course, I do read CC also. Part of Mahabharata, whenever I'm told to prepare any lectures, I do read from Mahabharata. So keeping, I did lot of mistakes in my spiritual life, I must confess. And when I searched why I misbehaved sometimes, why I went wrong in my life, I realized that my reading, whenever I misbehaved, acted immaturely in the past. I analyzed it and I realized that it was because I was not reading. And my reading was less, my hearing was less. When we hear about acharyas, when we read about acharyas, we get inspired to behave like them. Like Mataji reminded me that one should not criticize others. So Mataji also reminded that one should not find faults in others. So one should not hear about mundane. Raghunath Bhat Goswami was never heard about mundane or never spoke about mundane things. So when we repeatedly such things are falling on our ears, repeatedly when we are reading such things, it does have an impact. It may not change our life in a day, what I spoke. It's not that tomorrow you'll be a different person. But repeated hearing, one day it strikes, one day it clicks, and then you give up. I was struggling to give up reading of newspapers. Struggling. I stopped newspaper in my house, and then I used to go on the internet and read the newspaper. Ultimately, I gave up. I gave up reading newspapers. I'll tell you what is the truth. Till a few months back also, I was struggling. At least I used to feel like reading the headlines and what is happening in this world. But hearing Srimad Bhagavatam played a great role in this. And most important of all of this is chanting 16 rounds in one go. For years together, I have been practicing this. course, we have spoken. I only spoke in my lecture that one should not self-glorify. And Arjun was told to self-glorify by Krishna. And that is worse than death. But just because you asked the questions, I follow this as one of this to inspire all of you that I finish my all 16 rounds in one go. Once I start my first round, I chant my 16th round. Only then I stop. And I now, because of lockdown, I am at home. Otherwise, since 1996 almost, for 25 years, I've been going to Sisi Radha Gopinath temple for chanting my rounds, finishing all my 16 rounds before I start my work. Now, I had a setback during lockdown because temples were closed, and I had a habit of chanting with the brahmacharis over there. 25 years I chanted with them. I had a hell of a time chanting. It was starting from the scratch again. But then I devised a new method. I used to sleep at 9 during the lockdown. I used to get up at 2. And I used to chant from 2 to 5. I used to chant when everybody's sleeping. So I don't have any disturbance. So chanting basically has to be done as an exclusive activity, as a bhajan. I used to put all the lights off in the house, and I am only awake person awake in the house. And I used to sit down in that darkness, and I chanted all my 16 rounds throughout the lockdown. Even today morning I did that. Okay, so chanting 16 rounds in one go is very important, because chanting is like a crescendo, goes up. So you are chanting first round, second round. So if you chant 4 rounds and keep your feedback down, you'll never reach the top of the crescent. It's like 16 rounds every day is like a journey where we build up. On the first round, we build up. The second round, we build up on our first round. The third round, we build up on our first and second round. Fourth round, we build up on first, second and third round. So whatever rounds we are chanting, on that we build up our future rounds and try to go higher and higher. So if we just keep our feedback in between, we again come down. So chanting 16 rounds. If we are sincere in our chanting, and then if we are doing any mistake in our devotional service, Krishna will correct it. Krishna will correct it, because Krishna knows that this soul is sincerely crying out for my holiness. But if we are not sincere in our chanting, then Krishna doesn't intervene in our life. Actually, if we are not serious in our chanting, our life just goes on blissfully without any problems, because Krishna doesn't put us into any trials. And that is not good. We don't progress. Gold shines when it is put to test. Okay? So it's not necessary that Krishna puts into trials and tribulations every time for us to progress. Krishna has a different, unique, tailor-made plan for every devotee. But if we work on our chanting, Krishna works on us to make us good devotees. So this we have to remember, that Krishna is reciprocating us based on our chanting. If our chanting is good, Krishna will take us seriously.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice. Very inspiring.
Prabhuji, I have one more question. Do you have time?
Yes.
Prabhuji, you mentioned about a devotee who took a vow to increase the rounds. I mean, that was an example of sensitive...
Sentimentalism.
So, but in general, should we increase the rounds or not? I've also heard we should not just stop at 16. Yes, Prabhuji.
We should be increasing. Sorry, you have something more to ask, Mataji?
No. That's all. Okay. Sorry.
See, we do chant extra rounds in Kartik, we do chant extra rounds in Adhik Mass. We should always try to chant extra rounds. I am just talking about taking a vow. I may suddenly take a vow that whole life I am going to chant 32 rounds. But that is not possible. So why take vows which we will break eventually? So if whenever I get time, I'll chant 32 rounds. Whenever I get time, I'll chant 64 rounds also. But my baseline 16 rounds has to be of good quality, and when time permits, so there is no need to take a vow for it. That's what I am telling you. There is no need to take a vow for it, because you know, if we take a vow, we complicate things. If we take vow to chant 32 rounds and then it's a day of Janmashtami, you know, all of us, how we struggle on day of Janmashtami, somehow we manage to chant 16 rounds and there is so much seva. And then I say, no, I have vowed to take 32 chant for 32 rounds, so I will not be there for seva. Please forgive me. So I had that foolish conception in my mind. And when I was in my final MBBS, way back in 96, I had met His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. And I said, Maharaj, after my exam is over, I'm going to chant 64 rounds. So Maharaj said, why 64 rounds? He said, ours is not a Babaji moment. Radhana Swami Maharaj told me that you chant 16 rounds, you read nicely, and you preach and grant others to Krishna consciousness. That's what Srila Prabhupada wants us to do. And of course, after preaching, after reading, after doing all seva, we have time, we should definitely chant more rounds. Every acharya has told us to chant more rounds. So who am I to tell that one should not? But there should be balance. What I would suggest that about extra rounds, I would say that one should firstly finish 16 rounds, then finish 1 hour of reading of Srila Prabhupada's book. Then whatever mandatory sevas are required in the temple, one should do that first. Okay? And after that, if somebody has time, definitely he or she should sit down and chant 16 rounds again. Okay? But only care we have to take that our moment should not suffer, or our temple should not suffer in any way because of our vows to chant extra rounds. If suddenly all of us today sitting here take vow to chant 64 rounds, I'm telling you, no deity worship will be possible in our local temples, wherever we are, in our centers. Book distribution will not be possible. We may not be able to attend some programs also at many places. So some days 64 is possible. To tell you very frankly, on some Sundays when I don't have any engagement, I chant 64 rounds. I chant from 6 to 8, then I chant from 10 to 12, then I chant from 2 to 4, and then I chant again from 6 to 8 in the evening. Because now there is lockdown and I don't have to go to the temple and there is no seva. But tomorrow when the temple opens up, I will go there and I will stand at the shoe stall and collect the shoes. I will be there for plate washing. I will be there for cooking. I will not say that, oh, now I have developed a habit of chanting 64 rounds, so I will not come to the temple. I will do my 64 rounds. No. Srila Prabhupada and his mission, the mission of our previous acharyas to spread the holy name, is our first preference after our vows, along with our vows. I should not say after our vows. That's the vow we take at the time of initiation. I'll chant my 16 rounds, I'll follow four regulative principles, and I'll serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada in the mood of servant of servant. So we should not forget our third vow also. You have taken that third vow also, that I'll serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Okay. After that, if I have time, I'll definitely chant extra rounds. Thank you,
Prabhupada.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was really very interesting and very practically helpful class for us today. So yeah, we thank you for this, for your association in this busy schedule, and we look forward for your association in future, Prabhuji.
Mataji, and everybody, please forgive me if I have spoken anything beyond my realization. Forgive me if I have said anything of self-praise or something. Nothing meant. Only when I am given opportunity like this, my only aim is to inspire others. No other goal or aim. Sorry if I went wrong in any ways or overstepped beyond my capacity.
No, Prabhuji. It's very, very helpful. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very inspiring. Thank you, Prabhuji. Let us pay our obeisances. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhi evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Ananta koti vaishnavranda ki jai. His grace Durgavatar Prabhuji ki jai.
Shri
Prabhupada Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everyone.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you.